If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14. And as you're finding that, just a couple last minute announcements. Brother Steve Guzman needs to meet with all workers or those who would like to be workers with the Vallejo Parade just right over here. He's got to figure out how many people he has. And then just a reminder about a church policy, just a reminder that all fundraisers, if you're interested in raising money for either a ministry or anything, it's got to be approved through the office in advance. We just don't want our guests to come in every week and they're being hit up with, you know, we're raising money for this, we need money for this. We don't want them to constantly be hearing about money. Most of our fundraisers, we want to get their money, not our people's money. Because most of the time our people are tithing, given to missions, then maybe a Christian school bill, and they're pretty strapped on where theirs is going. But a lot of times people that don't attend any church, they're more than glad to help. That's why we've used these car washes through the years and made tens of thousands of dollars selling those to other people. So if you ever come up with an idea, you know, we want to have a fundraiser for this or that, please, it's got to be clear through the office. And so please help us with that. And then if you're an adult and you're interested in being a chaperone at either junior camp or teen camp, please see me tonight or Sunday. We only go to camp as long as we have the proper amount of chaperones. And so we've got to have two men, two ladies for junior camp, two men, two ladies for teen camp as well. If we don't, we cannot attend that camp. And so if you want to help us with that, or you're interested, please see me. July 14th is the deadline for camp without a late penalty. So that's 2 weeks from now. And so we'll make this announcement Sunday as well. And then we'll be talking about a church-wide fundraiser that has about 6 days to go. And so we'll really hit that going quickly. So we're in in Proverbs chapter 14 tonight. And we're going to deal with this subject, the danger of anger. The danger of anger. We've hit on this in Sunday school. Maybe once a year we'll touch on some of this in a morning service. But it is just such a vital key to lasting relationships. Anger has got to be resolved. No relationship is destroyed as quick as by anger. And if you put the word, the letter D in front of that word, it's danger. And so where does it come from? What is the cause? What is the cure? And I want to look at some of these things. So notice what Solomon says to his son that's going to be the king of Israel. We're just going to highlight just all of these in Proverbs for just a moment. And so Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look down, please, in verse number 17. Notice what he says. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. So he's saying, son, it's not a sin to get angry. Just don't be someone that's got a chip on your shoulder, a short fuse, where it doesn't take much to make you angry. He said, not soon angry. And then look down to 14:29, and you may want to underline or circle some of these. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. So he's saying when we do get angry, it ought to be a slow process. It ought to be a lot building up. And it ought to be very methodical, on purpose. And so he's talking to his son about this. Then if you look down in 15 verse 1, and all these are great verses to memorize and to use and to meditate on. Proverbs 15, 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. So here he is not talking about the volume of soft answer. If you study this out, he's talking about soft words. Clint Cavanaugh, the great parent, taught us this. He said, get loud when you're praising your kids. Get soft when you're upset and angry. We kind of do the opposite, don't we? I'm so proud of you. We're soft when we're praising and loud when we're angry. And so he said, a soft answer. Be careful choosing words when you're angry. Who's ever heard the the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. I guarantee you, all of us could probably think of when we were a child, something somebody said to us, and we've never forgotten it. They called us a name, and they said something about our features or our race or our background, and we've never forgotten it. And so this is so important, this thing of anger. Then look at 1632. He talks about what a real hero is. You know, today it's the rock singer. Today it's the guy that just gets hired in the NBA because his daddy's in the NBA. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But it's all these heroes out there. But Solomon says, son, here's what the hero is. 1632. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, whoever have self-control, is greater than he that taketh a city. So the five-star general, the military hero, God says, the one who can control his spirit, that means controlling your words, controlling your temper, controlling your actions. He said, that's the real hero. Okay, you help me for a moment. Let's start with this section. And please don't point. Something you've seen someone do that was out of control because they lost their temper. Anybody want to share something here? Okay, Sheila. What's that? Okay, friend at school. Okay, something they did. Something somebody did. Candy? Rammed someone's car because they got mad, babe. Okay, someone said bad words. Brother TC? Okay, so y'all had to lock them up at the state hospital. Probably a lot of our members, right? No, I'm kidding. I remember that's where I met you. Okay. Carl? Okay. You've seen people lose a temper, have obscene gestures. How about here in the middle? Kathleen?
Throwing a shoe out the window.
Hey, here's my daddy. I'll confess his sins. Oh, and the window wasn't open. Oh, okay. Here's my dad. Someone was eating chips in the car. Crunch, crunch, crunch. He just took the chips, rolled the window down, and just tossed them out, littered. Didn't say stop, it bothers me. Just, that was it. Anybody else over here? You said, okay. Oh, she was hallucinating, huh? It's those mushrooms. Anyway, so, anybody in the middle section? Anybody else? But I guarantee you, every one of us have either been the person that lost control or the object of someone that did lose control. And those wounds stay with us a long time. So important. That's why it's important we know, where does this come from? What is the root? How do you help someone with this? Look down, if you will, 1911. 1911. Notice what it says. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. That means if you have discretion, that's kind of like wisdom. You can defer or put off your anger. You can put it on hold. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's saying if someone lives a glorious life and they've got it together and they're a spiritual Christian, you can let something pass that would normally make someone else very angry. I'm going to pass over that. What you just said to me ought to knock your block off, but I'm just going to let it pass. You get a pass this time. It's saying people with self-control can do that. I'm going to forget you said that. I'm going to forget you cut me off in traffic. I'm going to forget you just took the parking spot you knew I've been waiting on. You saw me waiting here. Aren't you glad it's against the law to own hand grenades? If not, I'd have my car full of them. Oh, one of your fingers is stuck in the air. Here you go. Hey, God bless you. See, you in heaven. 1919, look at this one here. A man of great wrath, talking about a big temper, out of control, shall suffer punishment. What's that mean? whatever someone does when they're angry and out of control, they're supposed to pay for it. Bunch of people get mad. I don't like how the vote went. I don't like who the president, he won the race. And so they burn a city to the ground. They ought to pay for it the rest of their life. They break windows in stores. It ought to be garnished on their wages. They flip a police car officer, car over. They firebomb it. They put a Molotov cocktail in it. Just add it up, add it up, add it up. It ought to come out of their wages the rest of their life. Ought to be garnished. It says, he shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, if you rescue him out of the occurrences or the repercussions of his anger, yet thou must do it again. Sometimes parents bail their kids out of trouble that they really need to pay for, or they're never going to learn their lesson. And then we see another one quickly, 22:24. And it says, make no friendship with an angry man. That's why it's always important, dating couples, I've said this before, it's always important that you see that person at some time while you're dating angry. Well, I've just never seen this person angry. Well, you need to. You need to find out, are they under control? What do they do? Someone that kicks a lawnmower and knocks a hole through the drywall in a house, he may be punching his wife or his kids one day. It's so important. Brother Rule was telling me years ago, they had a carnival Sunday. And they had this woman a little bit off that came to the carnival. And she was just kind of following around. And she started complimenting Brother Rule on how handsome he was. Well, Mrs. Rule was right there next to him. And she started saying more and more things. And Miss Rule said, you know, I think that's enough. The woman took her Kool-Aid and threw it all over Miss Rule's dress. I can't tell you the rest of the story. How Mrs. Rule went to San Quentin. And no, just kidding. Sometimes people will do some crazy things. They'll say things, they'll do things, and sometimes they don't even know who you are. So let's kind of wrap some of these things up, give you some practical thoughts here. So what is anger? We're not going to give you all the normal illustrations that we do. It's a tool. It is not a sin to get angry. It is a sin to stay angry. Anger is an emotion, just like love and patience and joy and laughter and these sorts of things. It is to be used and then it's done. If you were raised like I was, some of you, your parents would say, all right, you've been bad. Bend over. Give me a switch. Wow, 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 wow. And they'd teach you how to dance. And usually you had shorts on. So man, it really stung. And then maybe they said like my parents, now go to your room. No supper. So we closed the door. We didn't get to eat supper. We knew our parents were angry. We woke up. We just assumed they're still angry. You know, God's not that way. When God gives us a spanking, it ends. And that's why it's so important as parents, as leaders, business leaders, and whoever you lead, once you correct someone and give them their spanking, it's got to end. It cannot be the rest of their life. It's done. It's done. Because our Heavenly Father does that. He forgives us. He loves us. He restores us. He loves us enough to spank us and loves us enough to hug us when it's done. So important. So it's a tool. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, God made a way to his anger. So God has a whole list of things that makes him angry. When someone does something or a nation does something that makes him angry, on purpose he walks over, picks up the tool of anger, uses it, puts it back. Now God is love again. It's just a tool. You say, well, I don't think God ever gets angry. Well, let me ask you, who flooded the world and drowned everybody on the planet? You remember that? That's Genesis 6. That was God. The Sodomite city of Sodom and Gomorrah, of all the immorality and homosexuality, who rained fire and brimstone onto that city and burned it up? That was God that did that. God gets angry. Miriam, she insulted the man of God, which happened to be her brother Moses, and all of a sudden she comes down with leprosy. And Moses says, Lord, would you heal her? He said, she's not supposed to say anything against you. I mean, there she is with leprosy. God gets angry. Jesus flipped the money changers' tables over. He said, it looks like our church is just a bazaar. It's not prayer. It's not it's just selling stuff. And he flipped the tables over. Now, he didn't flip people over. He pulled out the whip to drive the animals out. He didn't whip the people. You see, Jesus was making a statement. And so sometimes we use our anger to make a statement. That's why sometimes, from time to time, a preacher needs to hit the pulpit, holler, scream, call every sin by name. Sometimes he needs to be angry. But a preacher can't be angry all the time. He can't be in the lobby. Why are you here today? It's Mother's Day. Where have you been all year? You just can't do that. You got right with God. You should have been right with God 20 years ago. Why are you so... You cannot be angry all the time. So some people get angry. Some people are angry. And they're angry all the time. They're angry at work. They're angry at home. They're angry at camp. They're angry in choir practice. They're angry in the nursery. They're angry walking down. They're just angry. We got a lot of people walk around our neighborhood here, and I'll try to greet them. Hey, how you doing? And sometimes it's, hey, beautiful day. Sometimes it'll be, sure is hot. Well, thank you. Nice to meet you, too. I see why you're walking alone and don't have any friends. No, I don't tell them that. So it's okay to be angry if you're angry at the right person for the right amount of time and the right manner, and then you end it. Then you end it. Take your Bibles. Let's look at Matthew 5. I don't know how far we'll get tonight on this, but I really wanted to get to a couple of new things. Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking this to his followers as he's forming his church. Matthew 5. And looking down into verse number 21. 21. Every time Jesus spoke, he'd say, the Old Testament says this, but we're going to tighten it up in the New Testament. So Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And by that, he's talking about murder. It is not a sin to kill a fly that got in your house. It is not a sin to kill a mosquito. You say, well, Pastor, what if they're your ancestor? If they're your ancestor, you got problems. We did not evolve. There is no reincarnation. And so it's talking about murder here. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Premeditated murder. He's not talking about battle on a battlefield in war. He is not talking here about a burglar that breaks in your house with a knife and a pistol. He's not talking about that. All that's covered in the Old Testament. This is premeditated murder. Thou shalt not murder. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, Jesus says, now let me strengthen this. One step away from murder. Look at this. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother, that could be physical brother, that could be spiritual brother, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, notice, anger is not just inside. Eventually, it comes out in speech. If you're angry at your mate, pretty soon you're going to say something mean to your mate. You're angry at society, you're going to say something. He says, whosoever saith unto his brother, raka. Now that's not that movie. Dun, 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 dun. That's not that. Raka means empty-headed fool. So next time you don't like someone, just say, you remind me of a Bible verse. Really? Yeah. Where God says, you're a raka. Ooh. And they don't know what it means. Empty-headed fool. So it comes out, you get angry at someone, now you're saying something derogatory to them. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there remember thy brother hath aught against thee. He's saying, so you're angry. Now, a few verses later, now someone's angry at you. So you see all these anger issues. Look in verse 25, agree with thine adversary. That means your enemy, someone that's given you a hard time, maybe at work. maybe in the neighborhood. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee. He's saying, look, settle that thing as quick as you can. We had a neighbor years ago, not going to go into all the story. The church was here for like 30 years before he moved in. He moved in next door in this court right here. He developed this little court, like five houses, became the president of the association, started bossing all the neighbors around. And for some reason, he thought we were supposed to be quiet all the time. We would have church, he would get upset. We would have church at night. Kids would be swinging, people outside talking. The noise carried into his house. He got upset. He'd come over and say, y'all have to have church Sunday night. Yeah, we have to have church Sunday night. I can hear you guys in the parking lot. He got upset. He soon started calling the police. So the police showed up at my house, at the parsonage, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, so on it. Three times a week. Pastor, neighbor called, says y'all are too loud. Well, here we are. And finally, the district attorney called me into the office and the police chief and the neighbor and said, I'm going to put both of you guys in jail if y'all don't resolve this thing. So we tried to resolve it. We brought gifts to the neighbor. He videoed our members as they got out of their cars. He stood on his property line and cursed our people. He called our people terrible names. I still remember I was in the truck with Butch Miller, a fireman in our church, and that man stood on his property, made an obscene gesture, said something to us. He said, pull over, Pastor. He said, I'm not as holy as you are. And he chased that guy to his house, ran into his yard, and the man ran into his house. He said, I'm not as holy as the pastor is. I'll beat your... And I'm not going to say the rest of the words. You can figure it out. He said, Pastor, what'd you do? I just cheered Butch on, man. I just said... So God is saying sometimes there's going to be someone that becomes your enemy. And they wake up in the morning wondering how to make you miserable. God says, you're going to have to work at that to resolve it. God doesn't like unresolved tension and issues. Sometimes marriages, there becomes issues and tension and people just kind of have a peace at any price. Okay, we just won't cover that subject. We're not talking about that. Okay. We'll just never talk about that. There ought never be a subject in a marriage that cannot be discussed. Well, we just always get an argument when we talk about this. We ought to be able to talk about everything. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. How about this? Nothing between my maid and I. Okay, moving right along. It's 104 outside. I know that's what it is. So. How is anger manifested? How does this happen? What's it look like? Well, sometimes, in the blank here, ignoring. You're talking to someone and they just flat out ignore you because they're angry at you. Sometimes the closed spirit that we've talked about. It seems like the person doesn't want you around them. They don't want to talk to you, don't want to make eye contact because they're mad about something. Maybe you've made them angry. You've hurt their feelings. You've said something. You forgot something. You neglected something. You overlooked it. You didn't invite them to something. But they feel like on purpose you've wounded them. What does anger look like? Sometimes it's cutting people off. You know, I'm having a birthday party. Everyone's invited but Brother Steve. I remember what he said 12 years ago. It was leap year and he didn't invite me to his leap year party. Anyway, so sometimes we just cut people off. It's got a lot of different things. I got to look at my clock real quick. Just see what time. Okay. I got 12 minutes. Let me just jump on this for just a moment. We're going to end on this tonight. Notice, skip over here. Causes. I want to talk about this for a moment. Causes of anger. And notice there it says ghosts in the nursery. They've had a lot of studies about people that are violent, that do a lot of evil things when they're young. They've done a lot of study with children, maybe adolescents and down. By the way, one third of all those that are incarcerated right now are children. They're minors. A lot of violence. And someone says, so when does it start? When they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? Many psychologists believe it starts before birth. And they've done a lot of studies where, I believe it's in China, they count a child's birthday when they're conceived. So when the baby's born, they're one. Because they believe the child rearing starts before the baby's born. The parent speaking to the child. Nurturing, singing. It's interesting. And I just heard this week. If a little chick is born or a little bird in a nest and you take the mother away and they never hear a bird sing, those little birds will never sing. Interesting, huh? They are nurtured from birth on up. Oftentimes, as they study these children who end up doing heinous crimes, murder, I mean, when they're age 5, 6, 7, 8, brutal attacks on others at school, things like that. Read about one child set a house on fire. 11 people were killed. I think it was 6 years of age. Where does all that come from? Sometimes what happens is these kids are raised by drug addicts and alcoholics who spend very, very little time with their children. They're not getting their nurture. They're not feeling esteem. They're not getting the touch, the personal cuddling. They're not feeling important. They're maybe getting fed and maybe getting changed. Many of those children that are taken out of those homes and put into foster care would have burns on them, marks on them, broken bones, where they've been beat by their parents who never knew how to raise a child who had drug addictions and alcohol and things like that. So many of those kids, as their brains are developing, they start disconnecting because they're not getting what they need at an early age. So now they cannot correlate consequence from their actions. The ADHD comes in, the irritability, the temper tantrums, the lack of ability to pay attention. Oftentimes they're tested, and because they can't communicate well, soon they're put in the educable slow class. They're not mentally retarded, it's they've been neglected. And soon they're upset because they can't keep up with the class, and then they're the class clown, and then they're in trouble, and they never did like school, and then there's fights, and on and on and on. I start looking back at many of the kids I went to school with who were the fighters, the brawlers. I still remember a guy, his last name was Morales. It was three of them, real tough guys in our school. One of the boys, his brother fell asleep in class. He must have been sixth grade. His eighth grade brother came in with a book and just clobbered him on the head as hard as he could. Broke his glasses. His nose started bleeding. He said, "They'll teach you to fall asleep in class." That's how they were raised. Many of these kids raised in projects where their parents are missing. It does something to them which causes a lot of anger. And so one cause of anger is it starts physically. It's missing things in their thinking, and their serotonin levels are very little in their, and things agitate them more, and it started when they were born. I just think a lot of these kids, some of the kids that come to our church, they can't pay attention. They're the troubled kids every week. You know, they're sent out in the hallway because they, you know, they're picking on somebody. It's all in their home. It's how they've been raised. And a lot of it, they really can't help. It's physical. Just physical. Just a thought there. There's a book out if you want to read it. It's called Ghosts in the Nursery. And it's all these documented stories about kids that committed heinous crimes. But then it goes into, let us tell you who raised them. Let us tell you about their parents. Let us tell you about who was in jail and who was on heroin and who was left alone. And the city had to come in and take the kids and the foster care. And then the foster parents didn't want them and they didn't know how to raise them. And soon they were on the streets when they were 10 and so forth. But it deals with a lot of that. We have some of that in our society. We need to realize sometimes it's not just a kid who's angry. It's, why is he so angry? There's a reason. There's a reason. A lot of times it's deep rooted that started years ago. How they were raised and what that did to them physically. We'll end in this. Let me just give you one more here. This is kind of interesting. In Genesis chapter 30, and I don't think we've touched on this one before, but Genesis 30, we see someone that's angry. It's kind of interesting. Genesis 30, and we'll end up on this. Genesis 30. Anybody catch something new tonight so far? I heard something maybe new. Well, now I know why I'm so angry, Pastor. I'm angry that you're ending the sermon so fast. Good. All right, good. Thanks. So here it is, Genesis chapter 30, and we see in verse 1 and 2. This is interesting. So a lot of causes for anger. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. So she had been married to this man for a good while. Her sister's having children, but she can't have children. So she yells at her husband, you better give me some kids or I'm going to die. Well, that makes Jacob feel very good. Notice what Jacob does. Verse 2. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the womb? He's saying, this is not my place. I cannot. This is not my job. He said, that's something God does. And so I think sometimes people get angry when someone expects something out of them that they have no control over. Pastor, why did you let the earthquake hit Napa? Well, I'm sorry, you know, I usually don't turn them on or stop them. But, and sometimes we get upset at people and really it wasn't really in their control. So just another one there. We'll end there. Maybe we'll finish this up next week. Just on the danger of anger. And let me encourage you as you will deal with people this week. As the heat cranks up, have you noticed people get more irritable? Yeah, it's hot. They're like wasps. When I was a kid, we would see a lot of wasps nests. It sounds like two syllables because you can't say it in one syllable, wasps. And they would build their nest, it seemed like, right outside the door of the house. And I remember seeing my uncle. He'd just roll up a newspaper and light it and just stick that fire right up on those wasps. And you know what they'd do? They'd gracelessly say, we give up, and they would die. No, they wouldn't. Yeah! I mean, they came after us. Sometimes in the heat in the summer, when it gets hot, people get agitated, they get irritated, they get more angry. Let's be patient with people. Pray for people. Try to see past their anger and their fuse and their explosion and say, I wonder why they're so angry. Wonder who hurt them. Wonder how they were raised. It'll make a difference in our life. It'll make a difference in how we treat some of these kids that come to our church, and we'll be more patient with them. I'm glad the Lord's patient with us, aren't you? The Bible says, kiss the Son lest he be angry. God's got a lot to be angry about, but he still loves us. And if you're watching online tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, he'd love to save you tonight and come into your heart.